Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, and away we go. It's time for the Friday edition of the Daily 10. It's your friend Matt back again to take you on this sports journey of ours for the next 10 minutes. Right off the top, I will say again, please subscribe or follow the podcast wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. And this will be waiting for you each and every morning around 10 a.m. If you could also leave us a review, ratings, always very important. If you're a subscriber already, thank you very much for making this a destination each and every day. It is appreciated. All right, let's start with the Braves. And then I want to get to some Falcons in here as well coming up. But Braves are back in action tonight in Milwaukee against the Brewers after another just awful series against the Blue Jays. Toronto's now beaten the Braves six straight times, swept both series. I guess the good news is you won't see them again unless it's in October. I know nobody wants to hear that right now. Folks, the sky is not falling. I know it's frustrating, and I'm frustrated too. I'm sure they are. I've said this before when they played this up and down game through now we're 37 games in. Just a sloppy brand of baseball at times. Lackluster, pitching late in games. The defense at times has been sloppy. The bats have gone silent. It's just been a myriad of things that has bitten them throughout this season. Again, just when you think it's 17-17 when Toronto came in for the first of that three-game series, Braves had an eighth-inning lead. All right, they're going to get over 500 and get rolling. Just the opposite happened. Toronto, I think, scored 10 runs from the seventh inning and later in this past series with the Braves. The Braves offense put up eight total runs. So what the Braves were always known for late in games, coming off the deck with big runs, big moments, that it factor I talked about, it just hasn't been there so far in 2021. Tonight, Drew Smyly goes against the Brewers against Adrian Hauser. Smyly had a good start his last time out against the Nats. Let's hope it continues to build some momentum there. But let's take a big picture view now. And I'm going to say it this way. I hope Braves fans realize there's nobody coming in on the white horse to come save the day. Like, I know the frustration, kind of bleeds over into, well, let's make a move. They got to make a move. A, it's May. Nobody's making moves. The Braves' move they made was re-signing Shane Green, which should pay some dividends whenever he's ramped up and ready to go. So don't look at the trade market. Nobody's making deals right now. Number two, I don't know if anybody has a better gauge than I do on this, and I don't know if any of us have it, but I don't know if they have any money to make a deal. Like, I don't know what reserve funds are there that the Braves could take on salary. So for better or worse, this is the team the Braves have, and it's still a very talented team. This isn't an add talent scenario. This is a better execution deal. This is a play better, as simple as it is, right? You've got all this star power on this baseball team. They have to be consistently better. Now, the concern, if you really want to be concerned about something, the injury thing is starting to bite you a little bit more. Ronald Acuna is listed as day-to-day after his trip over the bag at first base when he landed awkwardly. Christian Pache had to leave yesterday's game early. You got the news on Mike Soroka that was the worst of them all. So you got that stuff you're dealing with. The injury bug, Travis d'Arnaud's lost for a very long time. That matters. But there's still more than enough for this team to be certainly better than they are right now. From Acuna to Freddie to Ozzie to Dansby to Riley to, Charlie Morton and Max Fried and the rest of this bunch. There's too much here. This is about playing better baseball, not about make a deal because there's something out there that can make this team better by bringing in another piece to the puzzle. It's May. That's not even in the cards. Beyond that, I don't know if they have the funds to go do it. None of us do. We'll see what happens. Braves are in Milwaukee tonight again, first of three with the Brewers. Okay, let's transition. I want to talk about the Falcons, who now know their schedule. And once we saw the full completed schedule, dates and times, Falcon fans can now start talking about games and where do I want to be to see that game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I want you to picture the job of the customer service reps, the folks that are calling you and me about Falcon season tickets and trying to sell us on why we need to be either full season ticket holders, a partial season ticket holder. It's a little more tricky than you think right now. The fact that Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff are gone, that helps, because if you would have run that thing back, we know it would have been hard to sell it again. It would have been impossible. But when you just start looking at the star power of the Falcons, yeah, you can sell me Matt Ryan if you want. You might not be able to sell Julio Jones because he could be traded in the next 2 or 3 weeks. While Kyle Pitts has star, future star written all over him, he's still going to be a rookie. And most times rookies don't explode early in their career. It's just not commonplace. It happens, but it's the exception, not the rule. Think back to Julio Jones' rookie year. He was good for a rookie, but he wasn't yet the Julio that we grew to know as he became his second and third and fourth year in the league when he understood the everyday goings-on of playing in the NFL. So the star power is just, it's not really there. After, you know, again, you can sell me on the Matt Ryan thing. He's here for a few more years. After that, it really drops off if there's no Julio. The other thing is the Falcons don't really have a great identity yet because we don't know what Arthur Smith is going to be about. I have a feeling it's going to be a team that, well, it's not going to be the running game of Tennessee with Derrick Henry. I think it's going to be a team more dedicated to the run, but also the ability off play action just to open it up and be a pretty prolific offense. But you've got to see that before you can sell it. And the last part of it is, look at the schedule. The Falcons only have 7 home games, and outside of Tom Brady bringing Tampa to town, and I guess I'll throw in the Saints game, although I'll tell you why the Saint game might lose a little something, because that's the season finale in a moment. The rest of the Falcon home schedule is the Eagles in the opener at 1 o'clock, which the fact that it's the opener kind of helps, but it's Jalen Hurts and a pretty sort of anonymous Eagles team that's not supposed to be very good. Then a few weeks later, the Washington football dudes come in at 1 o'clock on October 3rd. Ask a Falcon fan to start naming players on that team. Maybe they'll remember Chase Young was drafted by Washington. And after that, I don't know if you could even name the quarterback outside of like hardcore football fans who know Ryan Fitzpatrick signed a deal there and their backup is Taylor Heineke. I mean, it's not a bunch of household names. Then on Halloween, the Falcons will host Carolina. Now, I want you to picture a Sunday afternoon. Mom and dad are thinking about getting their kids out, trick-or-treating at 5, 6 o'clock on a Sunday night. Falcons play at 1. Well, if we get down there, we got to get early. We got to leave late. Probably not the best thing that's the Halloween game and it's sort of anonymous Carolina. The Patriots come in on a Thursday night. So primetime, November. If they have a good season going, a surprising season, maybe the game becomes more attractive. But it's the Patriots with a sort of beaten up Cam Newton. That's not the same Superman that we used to love to root against and hate when he was in Carolina. Hell, he might not even be the quarterback by the time the Patriots come in here in November. It could be Mac Jones by that point of the season. So I don't even know if that jumps off the page at you. And then finally, the Lions on December the 26th, day after Christmas. Again, a lot of this will depend on where the Falcons are. Are they in a playoff chase? It's the holiday season. Are we feeling great? They've been a surprise team. Let's get there. Or the Lions with Jared Goff. And again, a team without much star power or pull in the Atlanta area. Those 5 games don't offer much. The Tampa game with Tom Brady, okay, duh, that'll sell. That's a big plus for Falcon fans to go out and root against Tom and root for the Falcons to pull an upset. The end of the season, the Saints come in the season finale on January the 9th, which could be awesome if the Falcons, let's say they're 9-7 going into the final week of the season, game 17. They win, they're in the playoffs, or something to that effect. Well, the opposite is the Falcons are 7-9, out of the playoff mix, and even the hated Saints game now becomes meaningless because it's the final game of the season and there's nothing on the line. That game could lose some of its value. I think the guy selling tickets for the Falcons, that customer service rep making those calls, is a hard pitch right now. A very difficult pitch. Financially, it's a big jump for people who have not bought season tickets to say, let me buy in, but right now is a little bit tricky. So I'm going to be curious of how that sales pitch goes to the city of Atlanta. All right, one final thing I wanted to touch on as we have something to look forward to that we have not looked forward to in Atlanta now in 4 years. We have playoff basketball with the Hawks coming at the end of next week. And I say the end of next week. When the Hawks are done on Sunday with the Rockets, they will have 5 full days off, which is kind of nice to get rested up, get some healthy bodies going. A lot of practice time, which they have not had through this shortened, condensed 72-game season. While the play-in tournament happens, for next week that the Hawks will be setting up, you know, their matchup in the first round of the playoffs with. I think it's going to be Hawks-Knicks, but we'll see over the last weekend of the season how that materializes. They will allow 7,600 folks in the building, which I think they'll sell those with no problem. A, it's an exciting product. Hawks have been very good. It's going to be a fun time. I'm sort of waxing poetic when I tell you guys this. If you have not been to a Hawks postseason game, and the Hawks are never like the Lakers or, you know, the Celtics or these teams with a history. Most times the Hawks have been one round, sometimes a second round and out. We did have 2015 when the Hawks made the Eastern Finals. That building is so much fun in the playoffs. It's a shame it won't be at full capacity, because when it's been 16 or 17 or 18,000, for mediocre Hawks teams that have played like Orlando in round one or Indiana in round one or just the Chicago Bulls, like, it's been a really fun building. I wonder what 7,600 is going to sound like after the Hawks have been playing in front of, I think it was 1,500 fans, and then they upped it to 3,000. It's not going to be a true home court advantage, whether you're playing here or in New York against the Knicks or anywhere, the way it has been in years past. But for a fun team that's had a surprising season, I think being in that building for the playoffs, I think that's going to be good bang for your buck. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, especially if they are capable of pulling off a first-round series win against a New York team. It won't be 18,000 screaming fans, but I still think it's going to be a good atmosphere. All right, if you guys would, go ahead and hit that subscribe button for me. This will be waiting for you each and every day, wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. You can follow or subscribe to the pod. It is appreciated. Leave that rating and review the pod as well. I would appreciate it. I'll be with Chuck Oliver at 3 o'clock this afternoon on 680 The Fan in Atlanta. Back again tomorrow for the next... Oh, I'm sorry, Monday. We got a weekend! Back Monday for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.